All right, we're in a series. And it just worked out, God's good, that the series I've been teaching in Liberty class is also the same series that Pastor Weaver has been teaching auditorium class. So that'll work. That's worked out for good. But we've looked at some paradoxes, statements that doesn't seem to be true, but they are. Death brings life. Doesn't make sense, does it, in our human being, human thinking. Trials bring joys. Give, and it shall be given. My pastor up in Holland used to say, give, we give to get, to give, to get, to give, to get. I won't go any further, but you get the idea. If you stop at getting, you're in trouble. Last week, overcoming evil with good. Doesn't make sense, but if you've been saved for any number of years and you've grown, you've understand that these are true statements and are biblical. Getting to that, then, our lesson today. And how many of you, did all of you get a sheet here? Okay, hang on to that. Is good can come from bad. If you live long enough, Christian, you're going through some trials, through it all. It doesn't look good, but God's good. And we get some things. We talked about Fanny Crosby at the age of 6 weeks. She had an eye infection. And she was mistreated and caused her to go blind. And at that point, we would say, what a tragedy, how bad. But yet out of that, how many songs? How many poems did she write? God can make something good out of something bad. Amen? Now, if you take up your little outline, and I do mine a little different, we're just going to fill the words and then I'll come back. I know Pastor teaches a little different, but good can come from bad, okay? We'll come back to the scripture, but just go through and give you the words so we know what's filled out here. Doing the will of God. Rhetorical question, are you doing the will of God? I remember some preacher telling me, the will of God, wherever the will of God is, the grace of God can keep you. Think about that. God's will sends you to the right place. Are you where you're supposed to be? Brother Temp and I, he's from Michigan, I'm from Ohio, and somehow we wound up down here in Texas. I told my class when I left Dayton, Ohio, I went to Michigan first. Went to Holland, where the Dutch people are. Where's my Dutch singer? There she is. And they said, you ain't much if you ain't Dutch. Welcome to Michigan. Then God called us down here to Texas. Hi, Frank, from Ohio, many years ago. And the Texans were real nice. They said, get on 35 and head north. And somehow I got on 820. I've been here since. But because of that, God's will has a good purpose. We'll see that in the text here that we get there. Then inside, nurturing. There's a good word for you. Nurturing your walk with God. All kinds of songs Brother Dan could have picked. He sings them. He knows them. How about just a closer walk with thee? It's not a bad prayer either, okay? Walking with God, ladies and gentlemen, keeps you from physical sin. We'll be going over that. Walking with God keeps you from physical sin. B, walking with God keeps you from emotional sin. We'll talk about what that is. Then number three, trusting the ways of God. Trusting the ways of God. A, God gives you guidance, and God gives you grace. Now open your Bible. We're finally going to get there to the scripture. When you have it there, Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. We're going to look at someone who epitomizes the thought today about good coming out of bad. the last 15 chapters of Genesis speaks about a man named Joseph, one of my heroes. By the way, I know he was a sinner for all the sin and come short of the glory of God, but God chose not to say anything bad about Joseph that I can read. But we're coming down to the last chapter, coming down to Joseph. He's revealed himself to his brothers. I think most of you know the story. Let's look at verse 15, Genesis chapter 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." Trying to lie their way out of it again. They thought, boy, after somebody dies, Joseph's really going to come after us. But look at the last part of verse 17. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. What a tender, forgiving heart. What a model to go by. Notice, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Here's the verse. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." Bad in our lesson today. But watch this. "But God." Go through the Bible sometimes, you do a little study and find that phrase, "but God." By the way, we'd be in a real mess today, but God. Amen? "But God meant it unto" what, class? "Unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." By the way, God sees it from beginning to end, doesn't he? We just have this kind of vision, but God sees it all. Evil things to good things. "Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Now take your Bible and go to the New Testament. We'll see an equivalent New Testament here. All of you, most of you could quote it. Most of you could quote it. I hope we've lived long enough to really understand this verse. And Paul says something here, and we know. Aren't you glad we can know some things today? And I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, but I sure like white milk. But listen to the verse. "And we know that," underline it, "all things." Did you get that? Doesn't say just the good things. "All things," watch it now, "work together." All things work together for good to them that love God. There's some conditions here. Do you love the Lord? Do you have fellowship with him? Do you read his word? Do you pray? You attend church, Sunday school, I'll quit preaching. "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Did you get that? I used to teach kids. I teach older people, just kids in bigger bodies. And I had an illustration about this verse years ago. How many like pound cake? You know what a good old pound cake is? When you put some strawberries on it, you put some whipped cream on it, and man, you eat it. But did you ever notice what's in a pound cake, the ingredients? I wrote it down somewhere, and I probably lost it. Oh, there it is. It's got 1 pound of butter. Maybe that's why I call it pound cake butter cake. Now, I don't like just to take a big bucket of butter. I like butter. That's not necessarily good. It's got sugar. That's a good thing. Amen? You all like sugar. But it also has flour. I don't particularly like to eat a mouthful of flour. And it's got baking powder. Now, maybe your recipe calls for something else. So some of those ingredients in a pound cake aren't the best thing to eat. But there are some good things. But you know what? When you put them all together and you put them in an oven, something bad in some of those things comes out to something good. Amen? Think about it. Those are two Bible verses talking about good coming out of bad. I'm going to read a little bit about Fanny Crosby again. It says what many people don't know is that Fanny was blinded at the young age of 6 weeks old. I kind of gave you that. In later life, a Scottish minister remarked to her, "It is too bad that God in his many wonderful gifts to you did not include the gift of sight." Fanny answered, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind? Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Amen and amen. And God's used her. The bad thing becomes new. So we're going to take a look at Joseph a little bit in his life and kind of go with the theme that we've established here. Doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Joseph in his life, first priority was not his comfort. It was doing the will of God. I'll ask another rhetorical question. Are you in the will of God? Are you in it? I'll let God answer that for you to do it, okay? God's will was sending Joseph to the right place. If you know the story of Joseph, had the dream about the coat of many colors. His brethren were very jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. You know the story. That started out. That was not good. Okay? Not good. And then he winds up with Pharaoh. And you know the story there as it goes along. In the New Testament, Acts 16, 23, 25, talking about a couple of fellows named Paul and Silas. You remember those boys? And they wound up not in the best place. But something good came out of something bad. Let me read it. "And when they had laid many stripes," that's not good, "upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight," now most of us, had that happened to us, we'd be grumbling and complaining. Amen? But what in the world were these two birds doing? "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You remember the rest of the story on that? They got out. God caused kind of an earthquake. They got out. Here comes the jailer. He's ready to kill himself because he's lost a prisoner. They said, "Don't do it." I'm just paraphrasing. And finally he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Boy, something good came out of something bad. Amen. To do it. Okay. God's will has a purpose. We may not see it all the time, but he has a purpose. I remember Dr. Barber. You remember him? He used to say, when you can't track the Lord, trust him. You ever had that in your life? Where you have no way? Don't know where you're at? There's a little story told. I better read it because I won't tell it exactly right. But it's kind of neat about being lost in terms of the will of God. A missionary couple once brought some African pastors to the United States for a meeting. During their free time, the pastors wanted to go shopping. Even though they were in a small town, the missionary knew there was a chance one of them might have difficulty finding their way around or get lost. So the missionary gave each pastor his phone number in case of an emergency. In less than an hour, the missionary's phone rang, and one of the pastors said, "I'm lost." You ever been there, done that? I'm 79 years old. I know I don't look it, but I get real worried. My wife does too. I'll be driving along sometime. I hope some of you do this one. I'll be driving along, and I'm thinking, why am I here? And where am I going? Anybody ever do that? Yeah, make me feel better. Thank you, Frank. You and I better not take a ride together. But just they got lost. Little town. Gave him the phone company. And the missionary says to him, go to the nearest street corner and tell me the names of the two streets. After reaching the street corner, the pastor reported, I'm at the corner of walk and don't walk. Been there and done that for sure. Okay. All right. All right. Back to Genesis 45, 5 to 8, talking about Joseph again. And you know the story that God brought him through. It says, the Bible says, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you be sold hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Here's God's picture. God sees the whole picture. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God, you got it, class? Sent me before you, okay? To preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And then back to our key verse. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto God, to good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Then I mentioned a minute ago, Paul and Silas in prison. Let me finish that story. I touched upon it. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, touch it on again, what must I do to be saved? And they said, this hasn't changed, amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Amen? Amen. Walking with God, get this now, will keep you from physical sin. Walking with God will keep you from physical sin. You remember the passage. Joseph's been in prison. He's got out. God blesses him. Pharaoh entrusts him even to live at his home. And the Bible says that it came to pass, Genesis 39, 7 and 9, probably is on your sheet there, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Pretty blunt, huh? Pretty blunt. But look at this. But he what, class? He refused. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house that I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now listen to this. Think about it. How then can I do this great wickedness? Now look how Joseph puts it. And sin against God. Now, obviously, had he done that, he'd have sinned against Pharaoh. He'd have sinned against her. He'd have sinned against himself. But in the bottom end of it, he realized his biggest sin was against God himself. His love for God was greater than his love for himself. Amen and amen. Think about it. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And walking with God keeps you from emotional sin. What are you talking about, Brother Rigsby? If you look at Joseph's life, beginning to end, which he wasn't able to do, but all during the trials that God put him through, there's one thing for sure that Joseph didn't become. Now listen to me, this is down where the rubber meets the road, Christian. And I know I'm not talking to 20 and 30 year olds in here, so you can relate to this. You look back over your life, there's some hard times. You lose a mate, you lose a child, you lose a job, lose a lot of things. But it's a trial. It's a test. How you doing on test taking? And I'm going to tell you, you wind up doing one of two things. This is from experience. You either come out, guys, better, or you come out bitter. I've been long enough in the ministry, not that I'm anybody in the ministry, but I've been close enough to it that I've seen over the years people have been good Christians, presumably love the Lord. Tragedy comes, and they shake their hand in the face of God and blame God. And you know what? You don't see him anymore, Brother Dan. Don't see him anymore. Why? Because they've got bitter instead of what, class? Better. Do a self-test on you today to do it, okay? Genesis 41:51, interesting here. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And I'm no Bible scholar, but I have learned over the years, my preachers have taught me that the names have significance. Amen? And Joseph called on the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. Who could Joseph have been bitter against? All his house, all the brothers that he had. And let me tell you something. If you're bitter, you are in trouble. But with forgiveness comes freedom to live again. Amen and amen. Let me read you some verses. Who's with this? Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Hello, world. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. Isaiah 43:2. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What a promise, what a promise. Listen to Psalm 119, verses 10 to 11. With my whole heart, not half heart, guys, with a whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might know what? Finish it out, class. Sin against thee. Gold. How many know what gold is? Nobody know what gold is? Yeah, I know you're getting tired. I'm just trying to keep you awake as you do it. Check this out. How many know where Fort Knox is? Up in Kentucky. Amen. We got a few good things up north. But listen to this little thing. Gold is one of the most valuable materials on earth. I think we probably understand that. It's been used for centuries as money, but also has many uses in industry, manufacturing, and even space flight. One of the traits that makes gold so useful is its pliability. In fact, get this, I don't have any way of checking this out because I don't have an ounce of gold. A single ounce of gold can be flattened out to cover 300 square feet. Somebody go try that and tell me next week that works, okay? Okay. God puts us through the furnace of trials to remove our impurities and refine us for our good. Have you been there? Done that? I remember reading about a grandpa. He raised turkeys. I was probably one of them, but anyhow. And a little grandson came over one day, and they were watching there his incubator, and the eggs were hatching. And this one turkey just started coming out of that egg, and that boy, it's working. It's working. And the little boy, obviously thinking he can help that turkey, wanted to reach down and break that egg and help that turkey out of there. But his grandfather grabbed his hand. He said, "No, son." He says, "The strength comes in the struggle. Strength comes in the struggle." Lastly, oh, don't you love it when a preacher says, "Lastly," you sit up, you check your watch. "Hi, Brother Gary, you doing all right down there? Okay, keep him awake down there. Get him to do it." Okay. Just some verses about God giving you guidance, okay? And by the way, through it all, I learned to what? Trust in God's word. How do you get guidance? Right there from the word of God. Do it. James 1:5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given him." Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's a neat verse. I don't understand all of it, but it's good. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you know it. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. And then lastly, there's that word again. I've used it twice. I wrote this down. Talking about sin, keeping you from becoming, it'll make you be bitter. Sin will get you to sin against God. There's a phrase I heard years ago. Alexander Pope. I used to teach English. You wouldn't know it because I ain't on duty. But anyhow, he wrote this little, oh, it's not a couplet, about sin. About sin. I want you to listen to it. "Sin is a monster of such awful mien," that is M-I-E-N, that means appearance, "that to be hated needs but to be seen. But seen too oft, familiar of face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace." Now I'm going out on a little road right here, guys. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for Ukraine, too, in that situation. But somebody used the expression, "going to hell in a handbasket." When you see some of the things, I was in public school for 10 years as a principal, and the things they're allowing now, I'm chasing a rabbit. But it's sin. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from the devil, but I can tell you, Hollywood does a pretty good job of putting it out there. All right, I'll get off that because some of you will tell Pastor and then I'm in big trouble. I read and I finish. I'm watching the clock. Here we go. Conclusion. God promises us in Romans 8:28, you remember that one? That he will work all things together for good to them that love God. He did it in Joseph's life. Hopefully we showed that. And let me bring it down to earth. He'll do it in your life. But that good isn't always immediately apparent. While you are waiting to see God's purpose unfold, the priorities we saw from Joseph's life will serve you well. Doing his will, nurturing your walk on him, and trusting his ways. We can be sure that all the trials in our lives are filtered by the hands of God, who is accomplishing a great good in us.